Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, off for another day of broadcast insulin.
Happy Friday.
Yes.
And it is a happy Friday. After what we've been through this week, this is darn happy.
Well, I on my way in, I heard you talking to John Williams, which tells you a little bit about when I got here.
You made it.
Yeah,
that's all that counts.
And that's true. That is all that counts. And the it is true that I actually cracked the windows in my car on the way here because my car got too hot.
Oh.
You know, I'm wearing too many layers now.
Right.
And so I'm like, as I'm doing this, I'm like, I could do this. My garage is too warm. Remember I told you I found this space heater in my garage. I was afraid it was going to blow up my garage. Well, it's now been on for three straight days, and it's like a sauna in my garage because it's got an air temperature. What did you say, Kim? 19 degrees or something?
19. No wind chill either.
And it's like
I take it back. We're up to 20.
Well, that's what my car said.
Yeah.
You said 19 on the radio, and I said,
it's 20. It just went up this hour.
Yeah.
So temperatures are going up.
So Tom Skilling is going to be joining us at 4 o'clock, and we'll talk about all of this. It's going to be 52 degrees on Monday. 5-2.
Unbelievable. It's going to be, people will literally be wearing shorts.
What time are we teeing off?
I don't know. What time you want to go? What do you think? We got to find a place open on a Monday.
A little course to ourselves.
It might be a little wet out there, Kev.
A little sloppy.
You think?
We'll figure it out.
Horrible.
It's almost worth it just to get the video. You know how the kids, it's all experiential now.
Yeah, it's just get a picture.
Curated life.
Make sure,
right?
It's all show for people Instagram. You're there. Yeah. You missed it, Ro, though, that we saw the icebreaker going up and down the Chicago River just before you got in here and into the lake. You see that little path that's mowed into the... all the way out into the lake there?
They did.
Breaking up the ice?
They mowed. That is amazing.
That is cool to watch.
They mowed the river.
They mowed it. They made a little path.
I didn't even know you could mow a river.
They did it. We were all watching it. It was pretty cool.
Wow. Well, actually, you know, I love crushed ice, and that's what they did right there. They made crushed ice.
Now we could take a boat out Monday, too, right after our 18.
Yeah.
You can make snow cones.
That goes. That's it. Maybe we should take a boat to the golf course.
There we go.
Maybe try that.
Now we're thinking.
Could go to a rooftop, though.
Is it too early?
Could one of those heaters, stand by the heater, huddle around it.
Well, you know, I promise you Sunday, because it could be, 45 or something like that on Sunday?
Yeah, let's see. Sunday, 45.
Yeah. There's going to be outdoor, like on Randolph and those places. There's either Green Street or whatever those things are.
You know people sit outside.
Yeah. There's going to be those places that have summer open outdoor spaces. They're going to be there for the Super Bowl. You know that's going to happen.
Now I can grill sausages for Super Bowl Sunday. Normally it's like 10 degrees. The past few Super Bowl Sundays have been snowy and cold.
Can you get to your grill, though? Is it snowed in?
I'll get to the grill.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Be up there in a Hawaiian shirt.
And the most important thing is the grill, once you turn it on, it melts everything around it,
right,
which is nice. Everything, you know, drips off of it.
Good to go.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Sausage is added to the menu.
Can grill for sure.
I don't know how I feel
company
about
the meatballs very nicely.
Yeah. I just think it's... hey, there's this thing... Oh, wait, did we... Did you hook up the gas? Yes! You hooked up the gas!
Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. It's at 100 degree shift in temperature,
yeah,
temperature within a week.
Swing. It's
that almost worries me. Like something weird's going to happen because of that.
Well, all right. So I'm glad you said that because what are my first thoughts in a situation like that?
Some sort of crazy storm we've never seen or something. I don't know.
What could possibly go wrong? Do you see in Japan? Mm-hmm. This is unrelated, but this just tells you kind of where my head's at.
Did Godzilla come out?
Did you guys see in Japan?
Did you see in Japan?
I'm not necessarily following everything in Japan at the moment.
No, this is kind of interesting.
Okay.
That paddlefish have popped up to the surface and are either being caught in nets or are washing up on the shores of northern Japan, the northern islands of Japan. Now, the paddlefish, you might want to know, what the hell is a paddlefish?
Mm-hmm. Why do
paddlefish
we care?
Is a deep, deep water fish.
Oh.
It lives somewhere between 1,200 feet below the surface. It's one of those, it's flat, right? Because it's got very pressure filled down there. It's flat, and it doesn't have much of a personality. So, and so, when this thing starts to wash up, they get very concerned about an oncoming earthquake because they think this thing's closer to the bottom and it's feeling something and it's trying to get away from it.
Oh, gosh.
How about that? So there's no science behind it. It's just that this paddlefish...
It's just you found a reason to panic about
it. So I'm panicking about that. I'm thinking, okay, now we're going to have 100... Again, the paddlefish are floating up in Japan.
Yeah.
We got a 100-degree swing here in Chicago. You know there's going to be... there's never been a better time to call Plumbers 911 than there is right now. Because people's... pipes are bursting. We've already had it all over town, right?
Right.
Fed it in public buildings and other sorts of... Didn't they have it... wasn't there just one in one of the train stations?
Yeah. I mean, one in a courthouse just a little while ago.
Right, because what happens is that once the ice forms in the pipes, it expands, it busts the pipe, and then when it starts to get warmer, that ice turns back to water, and then kaboom.
Do you know where else that's happening?
In your home?
On every single street in the metro area, there are potholes that are like the size of sinkholes.
That's so true.
Insane.
Yeah. And this is the time of year for this kind of mess. There. And what does the city do about it? Because they're like, we can't get to it right this second because we gotta wait for freeze thaw again. You hear that sometimes with the ward superintendent. Ward superintendent voice impersonated, by the way. Happens to be the...
Very realistic.
Yeah, it was also...
You fooled us.
Yeah, the Vic Salerno's voice, too. I don't know. But Vic looks like he could be... If he weren't a pit boss turned into a prognosticator, he definitely would have been a ward superintendent. So, yeah, they're... Because you can call these things in. I saw... It's funny you should mention that, Jen, because... last week, I was walking down the street, like, well, it was a, you know, north side, one-way streets type little thing, and I get out into the, because it was all snowed up, so I walked out on the street. There's no traffic, and I wasn't looking where I was going, because, you know, I'm posting on Facebook Live and on Instagram, you know, every step that I take, and whether or not I was going to have an avocado toast, and there was a hole right in front of me. Not just a pothole.
Yeah.
It was a hole. I look, and so I stop, I see it, the funny color, I stop, I think I said a live animal, and then I realize, no, and I looked down the hole, and you could actually see, there was no end to the down the
so
hole.
On the other side of the earth?
Right, it was basically, right, exactly. President G was waving back at me going, I'm going to meet the winner, Trump! It was so, I thought, my God, who do you call about that? Because that's just going to get bigger.
Just report it to 311 and, you know, they'll get to it after the next deep freeze.
They'll put it on the list, right?
Like when you call 311 and they do that thing like, okay, where's the pothole?
Yeah, okay.
We'll be right there. And you know, they're like writing it in the air, you know, with like a fake pen. Yeah, we're at it. Yeah, okay. Goodbye. Why don't you call 911? Sometimes isn't it great when you call 311 and they go, call 911. Yep. You go, if I wanted to call 911, I would have called 911. I don't need the police. I don't need an ambulance. I just need somebody to do something about this.
Call your alderman.
Yeah. Oh, I can't anymore.
Yeah, well, that's true. You have to check the list.
My alderman has disappeared. All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon, what's going on in the newsroom for the bottom of the hour?
President Trump getting closer to declaring a national emergency over the border wall.
Then there's this. This week, the Chicago's Best team, it's headed to area firehouses to cook with Chicago's Best and Bravest on a very special Chicago's Best this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Coming up on the program, Season Sunshine, we're counting your money. And then we're going to be making some money with Vic Salerno in the 4 o'clock hour at 4:40 this afternoon. If you want to come back for this, this is good. He'll help you with prop bets. I think this is particularly good for people who are not gigantic football fans, but they're going to end up at a Super Bowl party.
Yes.
And they just want to have some fun. And there's always these prop bets that sometimes they'll run like a squares pool or a little pool. Or you bet your friends. I once ran out of cash in my pockets at a Super Bowl party. I remember it exactly
it
2 years
happen.
Ago. I ran out of cash, and then I had, help me out here. It was...
Pats and Eagles?
Pats and, no, was it Atlanta? Who did Tom Brady come back against?
Yeah, Falcons. Yeah, Atlanta.
Falcons.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. And remember the Falcons were up?
28 to 3.
People left their Super Bowl parties. Yeah. Don't you remember? Like, all right, this is done.
It was such a boring game, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, 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 what do we got here?
I should have left the Super Bowl party. I was actually out of cash by the time the national anthem was over, right? 10 seconds after the national anthem ended, way over the time that it was supposed to be, I had to hand out all the rest of my cash because the coin flip. That was my last. I was going to make it back on the coin flip. I lost it, handed everything over, and then I was kind of left with, you know, with my standard bets about the game, and I'm like, at least, hey, I had Atlanta covering. I'm fine. And it did not work out.
It didn't work out.
One of the many reasons that I hate Tom Brady with the passion that I hate him, because he is really good.
He is. Then why don't you just bet for him? I don't understand that. Why don't you?
Because I can't do that.
Right. That's the problem.
I am beyond my ability to handle that.
Yeah.
That's just my issue.
The prop bets are everything from, like, will Gladys Knight, you know, the over-under on how long she'll hold the last note.
Oh, God. What is it? What is the national anthem number at? Do we have that?
I think it's 105.
Bet the over. Oh, it's Gladys Knight, too, right?
Gladys Knight.
Yeah, bet the over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many times Roger Goodell will be shown? How many times Gisele Bündchen will be shown?
What is the over-under on that?
On Gisele?
Yeah.
Over plus 125. I don't know how to read these, actually. So,
well, you bet 125 to get 100.
Okay, so the over 1.5.
1.5 times?
1.5.
Okay.
The national anthem.
They only show her half a time. It's a it's a push if they only show her half.
Okay, is her side view or something?
Or half of her, right. Well, that might work. You might see that. They show her face, but she generally has a goblet of red wine.
Yes.
Like she's
having fun.
Like,
why
she's
not?
The mother of all dragons sitting up there, and she's got like a goblet, and it's, you know.
Donald Trump, will he tweet during the Super Bowl? He is sitting down for the CBS interview. You know how there's the traditional interview, but he dodged it. He did it with Riley, and then he didn't do it.
He didn't do it last year for NBC.
That's right.
What will be the first song Maroon 5 plays during the halftime show? Moves Like Jagger, Girls Like You are the favorites.
Yeah, Jagger.
I think Jagger. They got to get everybody going.
Or unless they cut. You know what? That may be where they ended. And who else is coming up? It's
Big Boy.
Big Boy, and who else?
Travis Scott.
Yeah. All right.
Will Tony Romo make a prediction during the game if that comes true? Because that's the big thing now.
Is
he going to call it?
I'm super annoyed by him.
Really?
Yeah.
I like him as an announcer.
I think it's cool, but I hate that he keeps getting it right. Because I'm like, well, if he knew that, then how come nobody else knows that? How does the defensive coordinator not know what they're going to do?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Or the linebacker. How about that? Let's just go with that for a second. The linebackers are on the game. You know, when they're calling audibles, whoever's calling the audible for the defense isn't seeing the same thing that Tony Romo's seeing.
True. You got to wonder. Will Tom Brady announce his retirement after the game?
You love
that, Ro.
Yes.
That's a bet for you to take.
Yes, I'm going to bet everything I've got on
odds
that.
Odds are terrible, but
they're already talking about a contract extension for him. He's going to be 42 next season.
Yep.
And he's entering the last year of his deal. And Robert Kraft, the owner this week, said, yeah, of course we'd consider extension. Brady wants to play until he's 45. He's still one of the best in the game.
Yeah.
It's because he eats a peanut.
Right.
Or a walnut, I guess. Peanuts are bad for him. It's a walnut.
Right.
One walnut a day. And you can actually see him digest it.
If he wins, he gets an extra almond.
Right.
Gisele lets him go crazy. Two almonds for you tonight, Tommy.
But no strawberries, because he doesn't do those.
He has 0.02% of body fat. They didn't have to x-ray him.
Between them, they have that.
They just put a lamp behind him and they look at him. He's not even an x-ray. It's crazy. All right.
It's going to be great.
I just want a good game. And almost all the Patriots Super Bowl games have been close. So I think we will have a good game Sunday.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got it. That's what I'm here for, bro.
It's very helpful. All right. We're going to check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News from the WGN Newsroom coming away in 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. What about it? All right. We got Susie Sunshine joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And then on the other side of that, Mark McKinnon's going to join us from the circus and tell us what's coming up this weekend on the circus. Ho, fasten your seatbelts. But Ms. Schmidt, she's actually Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors. She runs U.S. equities for them. That's a big deal. I'd like to know something. Why we had one of the worst Decembers, right, in a long time, on the markets, and now we had one of the best Januaries in the markets.
Right.
What are we supposed to know about this?
Best January in 3 years. Yeah. Well, we pick that date. It's completely arbitrary when we say, okay, here's your end, and here's where. December 31st and January 1st, and everything gets interrupted. And you got to remember that the market is a living organism. It keeps going. And so just picking an arbitrary date doesn't really tell you a lot. You need to look at the pain that we suffered in December and how nervous we were. Remember that that was the worst trading for Christmas Eve ever. And now you look at it, we're up 8% year to date. So we're climbing back to, you know, more normalized valuations in the market. We had a lot of fear in December, not a lot of volume, so problems got compounded because a lot of people weren't active in the market. And now we're coming out of it. We're seeing companies come out and report earnings. The earnings, by and large, are better than expected. People's fear was so great that things would be bad that earnings coming in mostly okay is actually an uplift for the market, and you've seen things normalize out again. So it's been a great January, but remember, take that in context. You can't forget that November, December we lived through.
So it was double the amount that they had predicted, economists had predicted in terms of the jobs added, but then they had the shutdown. How did that factor into everything, Susan?
Well, they had the shutdown. Remember that the data on this is always a little bit skewed. They try to adjust for things like that. And what we did see was a very healthy number from the jobs report. Look at the trend overall. So what we did see was a healthy trend, not only this month, but last month. And we have, when the government data doesn't work, we have the ADP, which is the private payroll data that gets released the Wednesday before. So we saw that come out Wednesday of this week. And that, too, was very strong. So even with a government shutdown, we know that that's causing some pain to the economy. We know that that's going to impact GDP overall if it keeps going and we go back into that state. But in the short term, the economy overall has sustained it well, and job growth has been robust relative to where we are in this economic cycle. We're adding more jobs than we need at this point in the economy.
We saw some wage increases as well there, too. But how does when the Fed has promised patience about rate hikes, when they look at such a robust jobs report, is there more of an inclination now to make some moves, or how do you think that is being read?
You know, I think the Fed said exactly what was needed and even surprised the market by being more helpful than expected with the commentary that they had this week. So remember that we had a Fed meeting earlier this week. Chairman Jay Powell came out after the meeting, which he's going to do after every meeting this year, and talked to the street about, here's what we did. We didn't move interest rates. And, in fact, he changed the language. So he really softened up the language and said they're not likely to move interest rates up. They're going to keep it where they're really looking at data overall to see how things are going, not just wage data or how many jobs we're adding, but inflation. That's something that they've been really keen on. We're not seeing inflation pressures, and so there's no need to take interest rates up. The market's been very concerned that increasing interest rates is going to tap down economic growth. So the tone this week, the Fed set, was exactly right.
Is he speaking English or Fed?
Well, they're always speaking Fed, but you can translate that into English. He uses a lot of English words, so I really think you too could understand it, Ro.
Yeah, thank you very much. But I wonder about the president's impact on this. Do you think that the president cowed him in any way by calling him out and taking him on directly in the fall?
No, I really don't. And I know that, you know, people can position that different ways. But I think what we saw there was the Fed is an independent agency. They're fiercely independent. They are not influenced by the administration, and they want to keep it that way. And so while I think President Trump had a lot of aggressive statements, he was really anti the increase in interest rates, I think the Fed looked at the data and looked at the economy and the market and said, we need to take a stand here at being responsible towards the economy. I think, if anything, the market and investors are looking at this saying, we need some sort of clarity. The administration is back and forth on a lot of issues. We still don't have clarity on what's going to happen with, you know, Chinese-U.S. trade. The market likes certainty. So I think the Fed taking the supportive path gave the market investors a lot of comfort that there's sanity somewhere and like, okay, this is still good for business. We can ride this out, and we trust the Fed to keep their eye on the economy and help the economy along when it needs it.
So China, obviously the president is about to sit down with China and talk about trade. And do we think that China is going to start to play ball and has the threat that tariffs are going to be going up to a full 25% on a number of different Chinese products that are coming in? Is that enough of an inducement for them to truly negotiate?
Well, I think what we've seen here is this back and forth on China, and we don't have any real data yet on what's happening and where we are in that negotiation. We've heard contrary comments from both sides. We've seen the current administration be really positive that we're making progress with China, and then you can wait a week or go back a week and we can hear comments from the same administration, different individuals, saying that it's really no different. We don't think much progress has been made. The market's looking at this, and I think this is the scare that impacted the markets so greatly in the fall when CEOs came out and said, those tariffs, we can actually quantify that a little bit now. And let us talk to you about the magnitude of these numbers. When the market started hearing about the negative impact, all that cost that would be added on, that's when the investors started getting nervous. I think the market is looking at this and watching it play out. I think this is an emotional trigger for the market and that it has the chance to upset things again. So I would warn everyone and caution them to be careful about the rhetoric around it, because it's been flip-flopping back and forth. I don't think either side has clarity on where they're going to end up, and I don't think either side really feels that they have enough clout that they can be influencing the other side or that they want to be influenced in turn by the other side.
You heard the soybean news that there's something of local interest as well, that China's offer to buy they are the largest buyer of soybeans and that they're going to increase that buy. What do you make of that, Susan?
I think that's a nice gesture. I think that's also, remember, we've come back and we've heard that Foxconn is definitely going to be moving in and building a plant in Wisconsin. So I think there are these token comments that are meant to be conciliatory and meant to continue a discussion and a dialogue.
Hey, I want to stop you on Foxconn for a second there, because that story keeps changing. There was Foxconn, obviously, they had the big groundbreaking, right, mm-hmm. where they all brought out the gold shovels because they had to be gold. And it was, it was the then Speaker of the House and the President. They're like, look, this is what we said we were going to do. And in southern Wisconsin, which was very, very important and did well for the President, blah, 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 blah. And then Foxconn earlier this week says, hey, you know what? We're probably not going to be building a plant that makes these screens because we don't need that. We have no foothold in the American marketplace for that. So what we will probably be doing is hiring a high-tech research group of people there and build a smaller footprint. And then the president called them up, and now they're talking about opening up a plant again. I mean, can they just open a plant?
You just laid it out. So take a step back and listen to that. And it's all posturing and it's negotiation. So again, it keeps the dialogue open. But when you're discussing trade, all these little tit for tats come into play and you're starting to hear about, well, this is what we can do. Well, that's not. Don't forget, we still have a Huawei official that is under arrest. And the administration, separate from the trade issue, is really worried about protecting intellectual property. So there's a lot of tension in a lot of different areas over trade with China specifically. And I think when you lay out that Foxconn as you just did, it very succinctly shows there's a changing narrative back and forth, and that's what's causing the market to be wary of this and nervous.
All right. Well, I'm wary and nervous already.
Well, that's your permanent state.
You already know. All right. Thank you very much, Susie Sunshine.
Thanks,
Susan Schmidt.
Thank
she
you.
Is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors, international firm, but her office based here in Chicago. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Mark McKinnon is going to join us from the circus right around the corner. But first, Kim Gordon will tell us what's happening at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Well, the Bears may not be in the Super Bowl, but one super fan is getting a big honor.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at WGN Radio. That's at the top of the hour. Mark McKinnon joins us right now from the circus on Showtime. I got to say that last week, your premiere of season 4, trying to explain what's going on in the world right now, it was because it was the week of the end of the shutdown. And again, they will be showing your show in history classes 50 years from now to explain what the hell was going on back in the 20-teens in American politics. It was just crazy stuff. Really, really well done. And they had a sit-down. You got to see it. They had a sit-down with Roger Stone's henchman, his right-hand man, Sam Nunberg, who I think they're now a don't invite him item, as we like to say. But they sat down at the Russian Tea Room and relived your first season episode from Russia with Love, in which he said, very scary, Sam Nunberg says, if Donald Trump wants trouble, don't turn on Roger Stone. Wow.
Yeah, it was epic, and, you know, it just was crazy timing for our first episode because just so much happened, and then we had that amazing turn at the end of the week with Roger Stone. And by the way, so this week, you know, the episode is called The Vultures Are Circling, and that has to do with Mueller, of course, but also all the Democrats that are announcing, because we had this week Kamala Harris, Cory Booker just announced today, and we had the Billionaire Club, Mike Bloomberg, and Howard Schultz from Starbucks who announced. So we covered all of that. But it also turned into an extension of Rogers. It became Roger Stone Week. I mean, he was in the news almost every day because he is now the biggest fish in the net. And, you know, there's just so much drama around the guy. And so we had a very interesting intersection with him, and I got to sit down with him privately. And it was very interesting, Ro, because, you know, sorry about the train noise in the back. We're jumping on the train in New York here. One second. It's about to go away. All right, there it is.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's ambient. It makes it real, right? It makes it authentic. So, anyway, we sit down with Stone, and what was interesting about it is that, you know, I talk about him flying too close to the sun, which he clearly did, and gone was a lot of the bravado. I mean, the guy was really, it was like a stitch has been taken out of him. He, you know, he hadn't had much sleep. So I talked to him about the prospect of going to prison. And then at the very end of the interview, I kind of asked him about where he was staying, and I think you have some sound of a pretty chilling bite.
Can you contemplate the notion of actually serving some time?
I'm not even going to address it because I'm going to think positively.
What from here? Sleep?
Sleep. Desperately need sleep.
Are you staying here?
No. I'm staying in an undisclosed location. Yeah. And I don't want to get Jack Ruby'd, you know?
Okay. Now, that's the second time.
Interesting historical parallel there, right?
Yeah. He's made another... that's another reference to, you know, gunplay, right? He said that he earlier in the week said the president has a bullet heading toward his head, and now he's talking about himself being assassinated. I mean, obviously the guy has a very colorful imagination. He's a dirty trickster. He uses a lot of bravado and hyperbole. But, I mean, why does he go there at a moment like this where does he really think that the conspiracy theorists who have been a part of the American and human experience for millennia are the ones who are going to save him? They've saved no one.
Well, you know, the interesting, yeah, the press conference right before that interview was hosted by InfoWars, and you know about them. And that was very interesting, that whole kind of back and forth, because there was a whole back and forth with the media who were there. And anyway, but the other thing that I discovered, I mean, not meaning me uniquely, but I think in a more so than a lot of other people, is just how broke Roger Stone is. He's $2 million in debt now in legal fees. He has liens against anything, any property that he has. He also owes the IRS $1.5 million. So he's a few million in the hole at the very least. And so a lot of what he's doing right now is designed to try and raise money because he is flat broke.
So the judge today, when he was in the courtroom, Roger Stone had his first appearance, and the judge said, do not treat your trial like a book tour.
Right, like a public relations campaign. But good luck with that. It seems that he's talking to everybody, isn't he? He's very happy to talk.
Well, he's trying to. And like I said, part of it is to raise money, and part of it's just Roger Stone. But if they put a gag order on him, that'll be worse than going to prison.
Yeah. No, that's really, really true. And they have him. I mean, even Chris Christie, who's really the funny thing about Chris Christie, and I think he's fascinating right now this week because he's out doing his own book tour. But he's breaking bad from everybody at the White House except for the president, and even a little on the president. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, "Listen, this is just a mess. I still stand behind the president. I stand behind what his policies are. I like the guy, but all these people, all these ragamuffins that were around him, and con men, and shakedown artists, and all that. You know, they got to go, and they're the problem." And, you know, it's,
well, it's really interesting
true.
You raised his name, Ro, because I was on the train coming down to Washington with Chris Christie, and I was about to see Stone. So I asked Christie, you know, who's a former prosecutor, about the indictment. I said, you know, where does he really have liability in this indictment? And he said, listen, there's the perjury stuff, which Stone will claim that he had a faulty memory or that it's immaterial. And he said he may skate on that. He said where he's really in trouble is on the witness tampering charge because, he said, Stone will likely claim, he said, oh, I was just kidding about all that stuff. You know, where he raised the Godfather reference to a potential witness.
Right.
It's incredible. But Christie says it doesn't matter what Roger thought. It's what the witness thought. So if the witness thought that Roger was intimidating him, he can get nailed on that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting insight from Christie.
Right. So, I mean, Christie has basically been saying that Roger Stone is going down. And if Roger Stone is broke and doesn't really want to go to prison, and Roger Stone's not the tough guy that he pretends to be, because every tough guy I've ever known in my life doesn't pretend to be. They're quiet, they're sullen, and
that's really true.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not out there talking about how tough they are. No tough guy ever talks about how tough they are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Gordon Liddy just put his hand on a plane, and that's it.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, even Oliver North, right? I mean, he was a guy that, you know, was like, all right, what do you need? I was like, those are the guys that you know, probably stand up to this. And Roger Stone is not that dude. I don't care what, you know, what he claims here. And the fact that he was complaining that his dogs were scared. Tough guys don't complain about their dogs being scared.
Kind of knew it then, right?
Right? I mean, that's just how that goes. All right. We'll see you on Sunday night, the circus. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you next week. Because Mark McKinnon, we're going to kick it hard right there. He's on the train.
Mm-hmm.
God knows. That Acela line between D.C. and New York,
mm-hmm.
you just have to ride that just back and forth. All day, all night, you'll learn everything you need to know.
You just listen. I mean, he just happens. Did he happen to be on the train with Chris Christie?
Yeah, what just happened?
It just happened.
It was, you know, fairly lucky. Yeah, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Kim Gordon's news in two. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Skilling joins us every day that he's actually working over there.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I tell you, it's been quite a week around here for all of us. You know?
Oh, boy, Tom. I got to say, though, today, we were joking a little bit about this, but it's kind of true. I cracked my windows on the way to work today because I got too hot in my car because it was 20 degrees outside, and that is 40 degrees warmer than it had been the day before when I was driving to work.
You are absolutely right. In fact, it's 21 right now, and that's 42 degrees warmer than it was yesterday morning. So
I just want you to think about the difference between that. And when you think about 42 degrees, you're thinking about how cold it is. Just think about the differential between 32 and 74.
Right, or right? 40 and 80. I mean, it's just a different, it's totally different.
It is.
Is there anything about that that's concerning? To have that kind of a temperature swing, because we were already worried about that.
I'll tell you, there are going to be some things that start happening. One, we're going to start melting the snow in the days to come. Secondly, we've been in lovely Pacific here today, which is why we brought the sun out and we haven't any clouds. Tonight, late, we switched to Gulf air, and that's coming up. And the minute that humidity hits this snowpack and the chill that's retreating, we're going to go over to low clouds, fog, and freezing drizzle toward morning and during the morning. But that'll go above freezing tomorrow, and freezing drizzle will go over to some sporadic light drizzle and even a little bit of light rain. But with the melting, it'll depend a lot on how much rain we put on top of it Monday. It looks like we're not going to get a huge amount of rain, but we're going to break up the ice on the rivers. So, you know, the potential is there for ice jamming. And that's been there all along anyway, but this will only exacerbate that. So I would say that's the major downside.
So what happens is the ice, the remnant ice coagulates, essentially.
Sure, it piles up.
At choke points, and as the water is flowing, it dams it up and it goes laterally.
Exactly right. Yeah. So that has the dual effect of raising river levels in certain areas. It won't be universal. But when those dams break, then you get a flood of water, you know, to come down, and that can create some problems. Take out decks and docks and stuff like that that are along the river.
Mm-hmm. The fine folks here, I wasn't here quite in time for this, but
right.
Saw this this icebreaker make its way through the river.
Very cool.
This is really cool.
So cool.
It is.
See.
It is.
And then made it all the way out to onto the lake right by Navy Pier there. And then some of the guys here saw it swing around and come back down the same path, went around Navy Pier and came back. But you can see its path.
You can actually see the path out in the water. It's amazing.
It is.
Because they're just trying to create for emergency traffic or whatever. There may be some scheduled traffic because there are certain deliveries that still come in down the river at, you know, here,
sure.
Downtown, most of all of the industrial stuff happens down south, you know, yeah. Down in mm-hmm. the port of Chicago. But there are still some whether it's paper for the Freedom Center or some of the other items that have to come in, it has to come up through the river.
Sure.
Here. And it's pretty wild that they were able to. It's just, you know, it's things you never think about. The river commerce and all that. It's 12 months a year.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we have something like $500 billion of cargo that travel on the Great Lakes, for instance. We were up doing that piece on the ice breaking by the Coast Guard on the Mackinac, mm-hmm. up by Sault Ste. Marie, between Lakes Superior and Michigan. And that we were going through 3 and 4 foot thick ice up there. That was, and watching these boats do that, these ships do that, is just absolutely amazing. But, it's, you know, by the way, one of the big changes, anybody who's driven along the lake or lives there, the ice is just stunning. The NOAA's Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab, who monitors ice coverage, The growth in ice on the Great Lakes has been exponential this week. Lake Michigan is now 34% ice covered, and that's coming from zero, and that's all happened in about a week's time. So there's
right.
been quite an impact there. And, of course, the wind direction will determine where, you know, the bulk of this ice goes. We've had west winds blowing the last couple of days. They've let up, so the ice has come back against this shoreline and increased at the same time. So fascinating.
We're
going to
lose that now in this warmth?
No, no. There won't be enough. Because what's going to happen is we're going to have a nice warm-up quickly to about midday Monday, and we'll get up to the low 50s, which is an extraordinary change. That's a 73-degree, 5-day increase. If that holds up, if we hit 52, compared to that 21 below, which was low, well, actually 23 below the morning before, this will be a record-fast warm-up. So we've gone from record cold to a record fast warm up. Then what happens is we cool starting Monday afternoon and Monday night and Tuesday. Tuesday should be okay, but there's a second storm that comes up, and we could be close to the winter mix and snow line on that thing, and that would be later Tuesday, but even more so later Wednesday and into Thursday. Then some pretty cold air comes down after that later next week, and then we kind of ease back to the upper 20s to around 30, mid-20s to around 30 the week that follows for highs.
I don't need this trouble. I just don't need it.
I know.
I don't like... Tom Skilling brought to us by Permaseal Basement System. I at least we survived something. This is something we will talk about for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was just describing this to somebody who lives out of town about how what the color of the sky yeah. was here was different.
It was
eerie.
We yeah. did experience something that we don't I certainly don't ever remember experiencing. I know I've been
either.
Through this cold before, but I don't remember being out in it. I don't remember having this experience, but it is like it's the light was different. The
sound was different.
Right. My house was cracking.
And visible properties to Arctic air that is very unique. You get sun dogs. You get light pillars. Sun dogs are the halos around the sun that are kind of prism colored. You get multiple, what looks to be multiple suns on either side of the main disk of the sun. and then light pillars at night. People who live out by O'Hare were telling me that the air traffic sounded much different because the acoustics of the cold air are different. I had a woman...
Sound travels longer, right?
It does.
Further?
Yeah. I had a woman who was a student up at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, and she was telling me that on these really cold mornings up there, she walked out of her dorm, and 2.5 blocks away, people were having a conversation, and she heard it like they were standing right next to her.
Yeah.
Now, up there, you have a temperature inversion that was helping that along, too, but that's pretty interesting stuff. We were... 51. Was it 51, Bill, that we wound up with hours below zero? 52 hours consecutively below zero. That's the fourth longest streak of sub-zero days on the books around here. And it was also we finished the last week in January as the coldest last week in January, thanks to that cold spell that we've had. And that was coming off a winter that had started so nice and mild.
It did.
So... quite interesting.
Ooh, it was something. And the pictures that are coming out of it now.
I know.
I'm getting calls from people all over the country like, my God, what happened? And I'm like, well, no. the picture, as we've now learned, the picture sometimes can exaggerate the effect of it.
It does.
But there were some amazing, these gigantic snow ice blocks on the beaches and then the water smoking behind it. And then the beautiful, and that's the thing about the skyline of Chicago, which is now in this massive change. This is the biggest. This 10-year period is the largest change in the history
skyline. Yeah,
right, in the history of the skyline.
Interesting.
Since the 1920s, since they started building all those buildings.
I believe it.
And when you see what this is going to look like at the end of like next year, when the final ones are up and complete, it's.
They're pretty spectacular.
It's a sight to see.
Even the ones that have gone up along the river, the transformation there is just it's phenomenal.
It's gorgeous, and our lakefront. Burnham had the right idea. He envisioned all this.
Yeah.
It's just stunning, our lakefront. There aren't any cities that can quite compare with that or come even close. It's amazing.
That's one of the pieces of this that. We talk about Chicago and we talk about it, and thankfully, and I know that part of it was weather related, but we had the lowest number of shootings and murders in Chicago almost
crime
a decade in January. January, as a singular month was way down.
Yes.
But you also look at the amount of building and the amount of the change in the city economically. This city is getting a little bit smaller, but it is also their per capita income is going up. There is, there are business opportunities. You see neighborhoods that once were there was nothing going on. They were industrial or they've been cleared out. There's residences and restaurants and all kinds of stuff. It's really pretty amazing.
It is amazing. I live up in the Edgewater neighborhood, and we're right near Andersonville, right next to that. And what happened in Andersonville is always a big story. It's happening now in Edgewater, and look at the Wrigleyville neighborhood.
It's
stunning.
I lived
Lincoln
in Andersonville
Park.
In the 90s.
Yeah,
and it was. It was a neighborhood, and we would, my daughter was young, and we were walking around and always trying to figure out where we were going to go get something to eat. And it wasn't a whole lot of, you could either have a Swedish pancake or you could have a falafel. You had two options.
Right.
And now you've got, I cannot believe the nightlife that is up there.
Yeah, the restaurants are spectacular,
it's true.
Too.
I just went to a new restaurant right across the street from Loyola, and it's lovely. We tried it out last weekend, and it was just nice. But all kinds of neat stuff.
Is the Davis Theater still there? Over there?
You know what?
The 400 is gone.
Okay.
Remember the 400?
Interesting.
Was it the Surf or the 400? The
Across.
Anna, I don't know,
yeah,
and
I
should know that.
Right,
I don't know the answer to that. So.
Used to go there growing up.
But
the Davis is in Lincoln Square.
Oh, what am I thinking across from Loyola? What's the?
There was the Davis 300? I thought it was the 400.
I got to figure this out. I thought it was right across the
don't
street.
Don't worry about nothing. We got it all fine.
That's right.
We got it all worked out. I saw Planet of the Apes there
once. I was always wondering, it was usually like fast food restaurants right there along that strip there. And then there's the theater, but now it sounds like there's something a little
That Loyola
nice.
Campus is totally changing.
It's lovely. What's going on that campus is great, too. I mean, it's just, They've really done some amazing building and expansion up there, and it really is all for the good. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You can see when the economy is good, how great things can. Yeah, you know, like how much
NCAA
development
didn't
there is.
Hurt either.
Yeah, well, that's true. But they were, but they do have. There's restaurants. There's amazing stuff that's happening, even in neighborhoods that people had no hope for 10 years ago.
Oh, it's true.
There are parts of Englewood that are being developed right now.
Yeah.
That are absolutely. I mean, it is shocking. It is stunning to people who drive through there. And there are parts of the southwest side
absolutely.
And the southeast side.
Yeah,
and it's. And there are, and the west, just look at the west side. You look at how development has grown through the west side. You know, it used to be a no man's land. It was Skid Row, they used to call it. It was just, you know, nothing but,
right.
but liquor stores and drunks. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Lying on the street mm-hmm. on Madison between the river and then Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
Now it's $1 million row homes and businesses and the whole West Loop and everything. And it's great.
It's quite interesting to watch the transformation that's gone on, no question.
That's making me feel better about the fact that there's going to be low-hanging clouds and drizzle tomorrow.
Yeah, but, you know, it'll be milder. Yeah. So that's good.
True.
Just be careful of the little icy spots. If you're traveling on less-traveled roads where, you know, chemicals haven't been applied and all, it could be a little dicey later tonight, toward morning and during the morning for a time. And then we'll go above freezing, and we're above freezing straight through Monday then, even though it'll be trending down in the afternoon Monday.
So we're going to lose some of the snowpack, but then we're going to get some more of it back next week, you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's... Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Ro. That's okay. The way to look at it. Yeah.
I don't want to look at it like that, but okay, whatever.
All right.
But it's February.
It is.
We are two-thirds that's of the
true.
Way through the beast right now.
It's here.
Right?
Normal temperatures are on the way up. In fact, I was just looking. Let's see. We start 32-17. By the way, welcome to February.
Right.
We're two-thirds of the way through meteorological autumn. By the end of this month, the normal high will have increased to 40, and 24 will be the normal low.
I just want to say, 27 days away from the end of meteorological winter,
that's
spring
right.
will begin in 27 days. Uh-huh. And we are 27 plus. I think we're about 35 days away, 36 days away from the clocks going back.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
don't worry. It's not like I think about
Anna,
this stuff every hour on the hour.
He's got a little calendar in here. He marks it off every day.
You know what, Anna? There's a verbal, what's the word I want in his steps? You know, mm-hmm. Kind of a.
The look, excitement.
It's all good. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. There's optimism. And I never truly express optimism.
No.
So it's what it is. All
well,
right, Tom. We're being told we got to move along here.
You go, guys.
All right. Thank you,
good
sir.
Good to see you.
Appreciate
and have
it.
A great weekend.
You
talk
too.
To you Monday.
Thank you for your help this week. Thanks for getting us through it.
Happy to talk to you guys every day. It's the joy of my broadcast life here.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
See you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Not correct. That was not correct. Thank you very much.
I'm hearing it.
Let's talk to Kim. What's coming up in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour?
A judge warns Roger Stone not to treat his court appearances like a book tour.
Okay.
Remember those I Survived the Blizzard of 79 shirts? Don't you think there should be a shirt for this? The Polar Vortex of 19?
Yes.
You need merchandise.
Right.
It's a money-making opportunity, Ro.
My eyeballs almost fell out of my head.
There. That's a good shirt.
That's what my shirt should say.
My eyeballs didn't fall out of my head
my eyeballs...
during the Polar Vortex of 19. That's a shirt.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Broconcho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Well,
woo-hoo!
If it's a Friday before an NFL
mm-hmm.
weekend, even
yep.
though there's only one game this weekend, damn it.
It doesn't necessarily narrow your choices, though. You have a lot of options.
That's true. That's true.
There's a game this weekend?
Yeah, I did not know about that, Vic. I did not know. Director of Sportsbook Operations for BetChicago.com, our dear friend Vic Salerno is joining us right now. He's our guy. He knows everything. He understands it.
He does.
Let's just talk about the game itself for a second, Vic. It is right now, if you wish to bet on this game, you must take away 3 points from the New England Patriots. That does not seem like enough to me.
It doesn't?
No.
It seems like plenty. The Rams are going to win outright.
I, I would think so. Have you seen this? Have you seen what goes on with this team? First of all, they get all the calls, and the Rams get none of the calls, right? I mean,
that's even more why you should be on the Rams.
Oh, this will be heavy on the Rams. Wow. All right, what do you see in this game? Just break it down a little bit for me. What do you see?
Well, but you know what I see, and what is really the way that the last two games, the final championship games, went. If they were reversed in time, and the other game was played first, you would have a different favorite. The Rams would have been favored. People got to see Brady last and how good he looked and how easy it was for them to win in overtime, and that carries over to how people feel about the game. If you would have reversed those, I'm sure the Rams look pretty impressive. People just forget it. Remember the last thing they see. But right now, 3 points is a lot of points. The Patriots are getting older. And I think Gurley's fine, and they've been waiting for this game and waiting without him.
That's very, very interesting. Very interesting.
I think it's going to be a tight game because just about every Patriots Super Bowl, at least the Brady Belichick ones, have been close games. Average margin point of victory for the Patriots in their 5 wins, just 3 points, and their losses, just 5 points is the margin between the two teams. So I think it's going to be a tight game. I was initially all on board on the Patriots train. I thought they had a chance to win by double digits, but I don't know. You take a closer look. If Aaron Donald could get to Tom Brady, that's how we've seen teams beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. If you can generate a pass rush on him, you got a shot. I still think the Patriots find a way, but I think it's a narrow victory by New England, just a few points.
Well, remember, they lose, too. They've lost a couple of Super Bowls, too.
Right, and that's what I mean. The three losses Brady's had is the Giants were able to generate a pass rush, and then the Eagles were able to get to him. And
they seem to win every other year, though. That's and they're in it every year, and then they win every other year. All right. So, Vic, let's talk a little bit about the prop bets here, because that's a lot of people are going to go to parties.
Those are fun.
They get involved in these kinds of things. The over under on the. I mentioned this earlier. I once got to the coin toss and I was done. All my money was gone because all of the it was just after that was over, and I was like, "Can we do the coin toss again?"
That's always a popular one, the coin toss.
Yeah, but I think also the national anthem is one too, right? So the over under, how do they come up with that over under on that?
It depends. It's supposed to be around a minute 40, I believe, this year, but they know who's singing the national anthem, right? And they know how their pace is. It's no different than anything else. So you try to put the average there, and then you follow the money. But, you know, most of our the legal books get away from propositions like that because who's the timer? Who's the official one? Who do we go to? When does it start? When does it end? But you don't like things that are questionable and can't be really supported by the newspaper or really by the league.
Well, the unders hit 3 straight years for the national anthem and 4 of the last 5.
Don't I know it? Shut up. Why you got to keep reminding me?
No, we don't like that. That things that people have control over. They know the results before, the proposition goes.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
We like those old things like, will the refrigerator score or not, all this old-time fair stuff. They're much better.
So you do have there are some props on non-offense, like defensive players scoring on offense and things like that, right? Is that they all changed because of the fridge, right? In 1985, the 1985 team, that January of 1986, when the fridge went in for a score, and then everybody's like, oh, my God, why didn't I think of that?
It's the birth of the prop bet.
It really was the birth of the prop bet. We didn't have them before, and then they started off slowly, and then they just went on a geometric progression. I mean, today we have thousands of them out there. Everything you can imagine. I mean, like, Fowler versus what his final score will be, right? Versus the total yards by all touchdowns. Now, I think that's kind of a silly one. You got to weigh 18 and a half yards or points because she's going to shoot around at 70, right? So if you had 18 to that, it would be 88 and a half. You get one touchdown pass, 60, 70 yards, it's probably got to go over. Or you could have a 90-yard heating pass.
This sounds like my first day in a trigonometry class. I was like, I don't even understand what's going on.
Can you put some more numbers on the chalkboard, please?
I don't know. Wait, what just happened right there? But I know.
Vic's in his head. I like the ones like how many times Roger Goodell will be shown on TV during the game and how many times like Gisele Bündchen will be. And I think very little for Roger and a lot for Gisele.
And we got to get Anna out here so she can really experience those.
I want to.
And then try to count them to that.
Mm-hmm. How many times yeah.
show
I can
Gisele.
Do some math. I can do basic math a little bit.
I got a proposition I just made it up for you guys for dinner the next time I'm in Chicago.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
Ready.
So we're going to take the temperature at game time in Chicago, mm-hmm. whatever that temperature is, and then we're going to say, well, the jersey number of the first score of a T to score a TD be over or under the temperature.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, he sits up all night coming up with propositions.
I like
all
that one.
All night. All right, so we'll be over. All right, I'm going to take the over on that.
Mm-hmm. That is a favorite, but I'll let you have it at a pick 'em.
All right, thank you.
At least you got that.
Thank you for not charging me $150 on that. I like it. All right, we're good. Okay, we'll take it. Let's get to the final numbers here. The over under on that game is now at what?
It's 57.5, right around there. And the game is we've been dealing it at 3 now. So that's one of the reasons I like the Rams because everybody's betting on the Patriots.
Interesting. As goes the nation, right? So goes the nation.
Yes.
Yeah. And 57.5. Do you like that as the over or the under?
Myself personally, you know, I'm an under guy.
I know. Kevin believes life's too short to bet the under, but in this particular situation, I mean, you got a dominant defense in L.A., and you've got a pretty good defense in the Patriots played it. I mean, Kansas City was such a phenomenal team. What fun that was. I'm so mm-hmm. praying for a Bears-Kansas City Super Bowl because I would have loved to have seen that the defense take on our the Bears defense against the Kansas City offense. What amazing fight. The best game of the entire year was the Rams Kansas City game, right? The Monday Nighter. That was by far the most fun.
If you like betting quarter by quarter, keep in mind in the last 8 Super Bowls for the Patriots, they've scored a total of 3 points in the first quarter. That's it.
Wow.
And that was last year. Other than that, they've never scored in the first quarter in the Belichick-Brady era.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting.
Keep a little nugget in mind. I'm sure Vegas knows all about that.
You're going quarter by quarter.
A lot in the fourth quarter is go back to the Atlanta game.
Exactly.
In the fourth quarter in that Super Bowl.
Quite a fourth quarter.
I just want to remind you, if you're out of money by the time you get to the coin toss,
uh-huh.
and then you try to get credit to go into the first quarter to try to chase your money
back.
What's
wrong with that?
Your first quarter over-under is, don't do that. Because I did that. I'm still paying off 2 years ago. I'm still paying it off because then I was like, I got the credit. I'm like, there's no way Atlanta's going to lose this game.
Uh-huh.
No way.
Uh-uh.
Well, the first quarter, the total's 10.5 points in the first quarter.
Ooh, 10.5. Uh-oh, you got a hook. There's a hook.
I'm the over guy, but I kind of like the under there.
All right. Okay. All right.
You're right. With the Patriots not scoring, it sounds like a good bet to me, right?
Yeah, Vic. There's a great story on BetChicago.com today about the prop bet and the whole the Bears. The Bears invented the prop bet essentially, so people should go read that.
And Vic,
also
getting to know Walter Payton in that story. They detail what was the Walter Payton story, Vic?
Well, I met Walter Payton. A friend of mine knew him, and we were going to open a hotel casino here in Las Vegas, and Walter Payton was interested. And we were going to make it like Wrigley Field, the stadium thing, the theme and everything. And so he said, well, I know Walter. Why don't I bring him over? He's in town. He brought him over to my house. Walter, always a gentleman that he was, came in, and we started talking about it. We wanted him to be the face of the property, right? And I said, well, what would you want for that? And he says, well, 34 has always been a good number for me, so why don't I just get 34% of the profits from the hotel? And it was just a little bit too steep, even though its sweetness was a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, uh-huh. But he was it was one of the thrills of my life meeting him.
Oh, yeah. He was very special. And, you know, there was a great controversy about that Super Bowl specifically because he wasn't given the ball to get a touchdown in the Super Bowl after this most amazing career. And the Fridge got a touchdown, and Walter Payton didn't. And I think there are still some people who are sticky about that. You know, they're like, hey, can you believe that? And I'm not among those who are a little sticky about it myself.
I think that Ditka had a game plan, and the game plan was to use Walter mostly as a decoy. But I don't think he did it intentionally, not giving the ball to Walter.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure not intentionally.
But even McMahon, I guess, and I heard the story that McMahon thought that Ditka had that on the Fridge to score. So that's never been substantiated, but who knows? And, you know, you had an offensive coach and a defensive coach, and there were two different teams at that time.
That's totally true. They didn't speak to each other. No one spoke to each other on that team. Although no one spoke to each other on that team, they get together every year for a reunion tour where they cash in, and that is the most amazing thing. All right, Vic. Yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Vic. Have a good Super Bowl Sunday.
You too. Thanks,
Anna.
Bye,
guys. Bye. Vic Slinger of BetChicago.com. Let us talk now with Kim Gordon, NewsChicago.com. What is going on at the top of the hour?
Another Democrat officially enters the race for president today.
It's the Rob Collins Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. You know what it's time for, don't you?
We do. Let's get to it.
It's the top five on the Rob Collins Show.
Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Larry Kudlow, not the kind of guy to say I told you so. Well, maybe he is.
Maybe, yeah.
He is, he's the chief economic advisor to the president. Former CNBC guy.
Nice pinstripe suits in the pocket square.
I like the guy a lot, but the man had a heart attack for his job already. I mean, it's Trump does put him through the ringer. Like, he puts everybody through the ringer, great economic news today.
Yeah, jobs report, double the number of jobs created that the economists had predicted, and the wage growth on top of that.
So Larry, they produced a video over at the White House, so they allowed Larry to go out and spike the ball.
300,000 new jobs plus, 3.2% increase in wages, participation rates went up, hours worked went up. It doesn't get much better than this. This is, as the president tweeted this morning, the hottest economy in the world. I hate to say I told you so, folks, but that's been my argument. We're growing at 3% plus, and I don't care. You can line up 8,000 pessimistas. They're wrong. They're completely wrong. We are on a roll, and it's going to stay like that.
Forever. Forever, Larry, because these things never go down.
Right now, it's, you know, I don't know if you should ever speak of it in terms of, you know, taking victory laps on this kind of stuff, but it certainly feels like a healthy economy right now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm one of those guys. It's like the minute you start to enjoy it, it's going to go bad. So you got to be you got to kind of be a little careful there, but it is good. It is good. The end of this week was a good one for the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turns out he wasn't on the phone with his son after the meeting with the Russians.
Right. The anonymous phone call wasn't him, as many had predicted in the analyst world.
And the economy is good. Although Roger Stone still had to show up in front of a judge today. So, you know, there's the good with the bad. But this was it. This is a good moment.
Dow, he tweeted about how it's way up, a great strong January, and jobs, the couple of tweets from the president.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
President Trump addressed the press gathering of the White House cabinet room and notably pivoted from getting funding for the border wall that he has aggressively campaigned for to touting his new border wall that he's building.
We're building the wall. A lot of it is, I mean, the chant now should be finish the wall as opposed to build the wall, because we're building a lot of wall. And I started this 6 months ago. We really started going to town because I could see we're getting nowhere with the Democrats. We're not going to get anywhere with them. It's going to be a part of their campaign, but I don't think it's good politically.
This is, I guess, expected. I didn't think I would ever see this happen.
What?
But he's taking credit for construction that was okayed during the Obama administration. Now, think about that for a second. Right? I mean, we're all, everybody's playing, Democrats are playing games with this, Republicans are playing games with this. The wall is, you know, there is a wall. There's been a structure there for years and years and years and years and years. It does not go from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico, but it is a, but there, you know, there's a lot of area where there's actual constructed wall, right? We see it. We know what that is. And constructed barriers and whatever they call those things, the slat
the
barriers.
Steel slats.
Steel slats.
Mm-hmm. Or the infrastructure, as Speaker Pelosi called it. No wall. I won't agree with any wall, but we'll talk about infrastructure.
That was my porn name for many years. And now he's taking credit because he realizes he's not going to get what he wants. Build this wall, Mexico will pay for it. That thing's not going to happen. So he's going to just take credit for whatever they're doing. And he's going to tell people that and hope that they believe him. And he knows that there are at least half of his supporters are going to believe whatever he says.
More than that, he says there is a, quote, good chance that he will declare a national emergency in order to get funding for the border wall.
I like this better.
Stay tuned to the State of the Union, because he says, I think you'll like what I have to say and I'll have more details then.
Yeah, it's fun, but I like this idea better, which is just claim you're building the wall anyway, and no one will know the difference, because no one's down there to figure out if you've built the entire wall.
Right.
So it's like you can't
eat. How do you know?
This is a better way to do it. It costs you no money. Just say, yep, built the wall. And then people go, and the Democrats go, no, he didn't. They go, no, I did.
Sell a new hat.
Yeah.
A blue hat.
Right, exactly.
We built the wall.
I don't think you'd go blue. I think
no
he's,
red?
No.
Oh, you can't go blue. Right. Yeah, no. Very idea. Red. Very, yes. Very red.
The deepest of red. Here's what he thinks about Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi should be ashamed of herself because she's hurting a lot of people. I think the Democrats should be ashamed of themselves. Now, in all fairness to the Democrats, many of them want the wall. And I see it. They're just dying to say what they want to say, but they can't say it as well as they would be able to if they were allowed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the strategy better. Just say you're doing it and just move along. And you know, maybe nobody fights with them about it. Maybe nobody wants to call them out on it either, because if you call them out on it, it's just politically not viable. Fine. That's good to go. We got a wall. We didn't have to spend any more money on it.
Mr. President, have you privately decided whether or not you will declare a national emergency? And just to clarify,
have I privately? What's in my mind?
Yeah, what's in your mind?
Certainly thinking about it.
You're thinking ahead.
I think there's a good chance that we'll have to do that, but we will at the same time be building. Regardless, we're building wall, and we're building a lot of wall. But I could do it a lot faster the other way.
All right. By saying I did it, that's the fastest way to get this done.
What if he just says I did it? Kind of like wipes his hands clean and it's done.
Yeah.
That
built the wall. I built it. Don't worry about it. Right? I mean, it's a good strategy. I like it. All right, let's move along here. Is there anything coming up? No, there isn't anything. We got Blackhawks coming up at the bottom of the hour. So, let's check on the traffic. Jen DeSalvo.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
All right. Let us get now back to where we were getting before, which is the top five at five, up to
number three.
So the rideshare services at O'Hare have exploded. It was 3 years ago, there were 160,000 trips a month for rideshare. It's now 650,000
per month.
Per month. of rideshare
at O'Hare.
So now at O'Hare, they built this parking lot, right? That was going to ease the congestion.
You are not in the lane.
It doesn't matter. You're not blind, are you, sir?
No, I'm not blind, but you need to move over. You blocking two parking spots.
There's 20 spots
up. I want to be here.
Oh my god!
So this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that's going on there. This is the kind now because they got cell phones and cameras and they get to yell at each other and then post it online. Well, a couple of Chicago aldermen are mad about this. Matt O'Shea and Gilbert Villegas say that something needs to be done.
I know we're the busiest airport and stuff like that, but there has to be some type of limit on the amount of Uber and Lyft drivers that are going to the airport because this is just causing too much congestion.
I think we need to look at everything because... you know, O'Hare is one of the largest travel hubs in North America.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's clearly not working. I guess they have one lane in, one lane out of that special lot. And when you have 650,000 rides per month, it's just not working.
Here's the CEO, COO of the aviation department, Kieran Sheridan, saying that, I guess we're going to try to find a solution.
We have such a large program of construction going on at O'Hare that we need to phase things so that we're not interfering with other projects that are coming up.
At some point, do you stop those ride shares from coming in, meaning you set a limit on how many come into the airport?
So I think your question is really about policy, and I would say to you that, you know, all options are on the table. We'll look at the entire spectrum of options that we have.
They're
on it.
Yeah, they're on it. Yeah, that's what we're gonna look at a spectrum right now. Really? Thank you. That was Lourdes Duarte, by the way, reporting that for Channel 9. Pretty good.
It's a fascinating issue that so many people are just complaining about it.
Yes.
Their experience.
Number two.
All right, ready to feel old? Green Day's landmark Dookie album turns 25 today.
No.
25. Oh. It's old enough to be a parent. It sold 20 million albums worldwide.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
And contributed to bringing punk music mainstream.
My myth and feathers my eyes. Take me away to paint and eyes. I'm so damn hard. I'm everywhere. I'm blind. And I smell like
pain. Amazing.
That
amazing
can't be 25 band. Years.
Yeah, that's 25 years ago, and we're fine.
Number one,
Jimmy Kimmel. Not 100% sure what the president meant when he was tweeting about the wall.
He wrote, "Let's just call them walls from now on and stop playing political games. A wall is a wall." And you know what? He's right. A wall is a wall. I even looked it up in the dictionary. You can see. Definition of wall, a wall, or a continuous, solid, vertical structure that Donald Trump is definitely not getting.
I'm telling you, man, I love this new strategy of the president to declare victory and go home. He is. Yeah, we're building a wall.
Sure.
Wait, why are we
Many
fighting?
People don't know.
Why
we're
are
building
we
it?
Fighting over the wall? Why would you shut down the government over a wall that you were already building? If he's already, he said, we're already building it. I don't know what these people are talking about.
It's being built.
Oh, my God.
What are the negotiations over, then, if it's already being built?
It's already being built. It's fine. It's already... but, it's like, complete the wall. Now I just want to complete it. So now you got to complete it. I already started it. Because I got to keep up with this campaign promise, because it's not going to work out for me if I don't.
It's fairly central.
Do you think Donald Trump has ever answered the question, where were you last night? Do you think by any of his wives? Imagine the answer. I was right here with you. No, you weren't. Yes, I was. Okay. You were? I was. You just didn't notice me.
The whole time, right? I think wall is the operative word, drinking game for the State of the Union.
Oh.
For sure.
How many? Well, all right. How many people? Do you want to live? What? I mean, how are you going to do that?
You just know it. His tweet's ramping up to the day in his press conference today. It's the word.
Yeah.
But he's already got the wall, so maybe he doesn't need to talk about it.
Right. I already built the wall. That's what you should just announce. You should get up there and go, I already built it. Sorry. Good night. It's all over. Good to go. Oh, man. I do like the idea of it, though. I like it as an American citizen, slightly concerned about the amount of money that we're spending on everything else that we're spending on. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea that he already claims we built the wall. We're fine. We're good to go. All right. That's it. We're done.
The top five at five.